So this morning we're going to look at Matthew's version of the announcement that of Jesus to his earthly father Joseph, what the man read there in the video, part of that. This story is told in Matthew, it's told from Joseph's perspective. Mary is mentioned. Of course, we just read Luke to hear her side of the story. Both are inspired by God. They're both true. I'll just tell you straight up, I am impressed with Joseph's faithfulness to God and to Mary. I'm inspired by Joseph's immediate obedience to the word of the Lord. And I'm equally impressed with Mary's response to the news that she would have a baby, as Luke tells us in chapter 1 of his gospel. Mary responded to that strange announcement, and we read it earlier. I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. May it be to me as you have said. Now, we know that Mary didn't understand everything that it meant. How could she understand the eternal significance of what was happening in her own body? But her response was obedience. It was as if she was saying, I may not understand all of this, but I submit to the Lord. What an incredible response. And now let's look at Joseph's response from Matthew chapter 1. Now Matthew starts off with the lineage of Jesus. If you read King James Version, it's the begats. And that's important to the Jewish people because it was very important where a person came from. And Matthew lays it out to illustrate that Jesus came in the tribe of Judah, in the line of David. And then in about verse 18 of that chapter, he says, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married, betrothed, to be married to Joseph. Before the two came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph was a faithful man, faithful and righteous to the law. But he also did not want to embarrass his betrothed. He didn't want to cause Mary public disgrace. He had decided to divorce her quietly. And after he'd considered these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And then Matthew gives us that little soliloquy. He says, this all came about, this all happened to fulfill what the Lord God had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. And when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him. And he took Mary home to be his wife. But he did not consummate the marriage until the son was born, and he named the son Jesus. Like I said, I'm impressed with Joseph's faithfulness and his obedience. Now, I like to picture Joseph as a young man. That's just how I like to read the story. But listen to me, it doesn't tell us. It doesn't tell us how old Joseph was. And whether he was a young man or an older man, his example here is incredible. He was a faithful Jewish follower of Yahweh. He respected the law of Moses. But he also loved his betrothed. He knew that if she had been unfaithful to him, he must divorce her. Because that's what actually, the law said death penalty for adultery. But Joseph had decided to divorce her quietly, so not to cause her any more harm than necessary. And it's true that in the days of Moses, the law said that adultery earned the death penalty. A woman who had been found to be unfaithful would be taken outside the camp or outside the town and stoned to death. But of course, in the days of Mary and Joseph, Rome was in charge. There was Roman law, and the Romans weren't too bothered by adultery. And so there was no longer a death penalty for such as that. And we don't get the impression that Joseph would have called for that anyway. Joseph was faithful to God, and he was faithful to Mary. Men, so must we be. So that kind of faithful to God and to our families. And Joseph's obedience here is stunning. The way Matthew tells it, he woke up from the dream, he believed what he was told, and he immediately took action to obey the word of the Lord. He took Mary home as his wife. He accepted the truth, and he accepted whatever consequences would come from doing what God told him to do. Joseph's behavior is commendable. It is exemplary. Men, let us follow his example. I mentioned that Mary's submission to the Lord is also incredible. It is, isn't it? I mean, both Mary and Joseph go down in history as remarkable and blessed people. And as helpful as their examples are, the real story here is what God was doing. The real story is what the video said. It's about Jesus. The Christmas story is about God coming in flesh, God becoming human in order to reveal himself more plainly to his people. God, the Son, took the form of a baby at conception in the womb of a little-known virgin woman. The Apostle John said the Word became flesh. He came to our neighborhood. He pitched his tent in our camp. Emmanuel, God is with us. He, Jesus, came in this way to save his people from our sins. This is why in the last few weeks when we had the nativity scene displayed here, we had the cross behind it to indicate why Jesus came in the way he has come. He came in flesh to show us the way to save us from our sin. That's the story. Now, it's okay to consider this from a human point of view. Do you understand why people would have a problem with this story? Some people do have a problem believing this story about Jesus. God entering humanity as one of us. A lady conceiving a baby. A lady who had never been with a man. When we lived in New Zealand, there was a big billboard on a bus that said, virgin birth? Probably not. That's how a lot of people feel. It's an incredible story. It's not a rational human story. It's God's story. God chose to save us this way. God chose to lower himself to be human. God chose two unknown people from a not so important village to host his incarnation. It is not natural. It's supernatural. It's God. This is how he works. Matthew tells us that these actions fulfill the prophecy from Isaiah. And again, that was really important to the Jewish people. They studied Isaiah and the other prophets, but Isaiah was a big one, is a big one. And they had been waiting for generations for a Messiah to come. They believed Isaiah's words. And then, like I mentioned in the first part of Matthew 1, he gives us the lineage of Jesus. He laid out where Jesus came from, who his ancestors were. In the line of King David, in the tribe of Judah, you see, Jesus was born to be king. Matthew's whole aim for writing his gospel is to illustrate proof that Jesus is the Messiah. He began his message from a Jewish male perspective, but the truth is greater than any one ethnicity or gender can contain. This story is for all people of all time. The story is for Israel. And we must pray that the nation of Israel, even today, would accept who the Messiah is and come to him in faith. And the story is for all the nations. Let us pray. Let us work so that in every nation and in every language, people know Jesus and come to him in faith. Let us believe and help our neighbors believe. Now, Mary and Joseph both had to make a choice when they encountered the salvation plan of God. They both chose to believe God and to obey God. The messenger was divine in both cases, but it's still a hard sell, don't you think? But they believed and they obeyed. Trust and obey. There's no other way. Now we too have to make a decision when we encounter the salvation story. It is an incredible story. To some people, it is beyond belief. And if you're one of those, I would invite you to just to pray a little prayer, even if you're not sure that there is a God to pray to. Be willing to just say, God, I invite your spirit to tell my spirit that this is true, and then give it a read. God will honor that prayer. It's an incredible story. We don't have Jesus physically in our midst. We're not privileged to the new birth like the shepherds were. But we have the testimony of the people who were there, who were around, the people who knew Jesus personally. They wrote these things down. God inspired it, and he's protected it. He's kept it so that we can read. And we have the Holy Spirit to convict us of the truth, to speak into our soul, into our spirit, that this is true and we should follow him. Jesus is God with us. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. He came as a baby to save us from our sin. Will you believe? Will you obey? Now, we push a lot into the Christmas story, don't we? And this whole season. We push a lot into it. If you didn't know, I need to tell you that we're not even sure when Jesus was born. It was chosen a long, long time ago to celebrate it on December 25th, and it's a good time. It's as good as any. We know that he came. We know that he was born in Bethlehem to Joseph and Mary. We know that his conception was from the Holy Spirit. It was then, and it still is, completely unprecedented. Now, we tell stories about trees and decorations. We tell stories about a mysterious gift-giving man from the north. We put a lot of pressure on ourselves around this holiday. Are you worried about cooking today? You're worried about making sure every family member feels involved and that you get to go to every place and eat one more ham or turkey dinner? Are you worried about the gift giving and the schedules or the unicorn socks? Put all that stuff aside. Put it aside. Why are we here?